It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And in the school today, we are looking at the parable of the sower as it's given to us in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Now, this parable is told both in Mark and in Matthew and in Luke. But if you want to follow along in the lesson today, you may want to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, 1 through 9. We're going to start in verse 3, where it says, "Behold, the sower went forth to sow," and then we'll take the class up from there. Now, while you're turning there, I will remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're using as a guide to these lessons Sunday school notes that were written by E.A. Elam. And these notes for the Sunday schools of October the 19th, 1924. Now let's look at this great parable. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Well, it is true then, as it is now, that farmers in that country lived in villages and towns as and protection from robbers, and literally went forth to sow in their fields. They would leave their little villages and go out to their farm plots to sow. And so you could see them in the morning leaving their villages, going out to their farms, and returning in the evening. Now this was a real occurrence. And all with it were familiar with what they were seeing and could just see this in their mind. In fact, as Jesus taught this by the Sea of Galilee, I wondered if perhaps off in the distance there was not some farmer leaving Capernaum, going out in their fields, that Jesus could look to when he said, "Behold," and they could actually turn and see a sower going forth to sow. Those little villages were surrounded by grain fields, and some farmer at that very moment may have been sowing his crop of wheat in their sight. There were no machines then for sowing grain, hence the sowing was all done by hand. And we read in Mark chapter 4 and verse 4 that it came to pass as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. The wayside was not only where the road and fields joined, but it was the many narrow footpath trodden through the fields. The fields were not fenced, and many paths led right across them. These paths were hard, and the sea lay naked upon them. Birds are said to be numerous in that country, it being a winter feeding place for many migratory birds. One writer speaks of having seen a hillside black with more than 1,000 crows waiting to pick up the grain of the sower. We read in Mark 4 and verse 5, "The other fell on rocky ground, where it had not much earth, and straightway it sprang up, because it had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." The rocky ground was not where the stones lay upon the surface, for in such places the harvest might be abundant. It was where the rocks lay just under the surface and were covered with only a very thin soil. These rocks attracted the heat of the sun and soon forced the grain up, for the very reason that the soil was not deep. And the hot sun soon scorched the tender plants because the soil upon the rocks was parched, and there was none in which they could take root and from which they could draw moisture and life. In Mark 4 and verse 7, we read, "The other fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit." Well, those thorns, the soil that could produce the grain could certainly produce the thorns. I remember my grandmother used to say that a good garden soil was a good soil for the flowers, was a good soil for the weeds. And so you'd have to go out and weed in order to have the beautiful garden that she desired. And so the thorns grew and choked the grain. But then we read in verse 8 and 9, others fell on the good ground and yielded fruit, growing up and increasing, and brought forth 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, who has ears to hear, let him hear. Good ground is the opposite of the others. It was not hard, stony, or shallow, or full of thorns, but produces an abundant harvest. It is said that while 35 or 60-fold is a good yield, yet 100-fold can sometimes be produced. And having spoken the parable, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said this to impress the importance of giving heed to what he said. God intends for people to use their ears in order to learn the truth. If you have ears to hear, hear. In other words, if you want to know, pay attention. He that hath ears to hear. Ears to hear are the ears of one who wants to hear. And if someone wants to hear the truth, they will be able to perceive the truth and understand the truth from the things that Jesus said. All do not want the truth. All do not have ears to hear. Some of these ears are like that old hard ground, and the truth cannot penetrate. And so he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In Mark chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, we have a section on why Jesus spoke in parables. Let me read those four verses together, and then we will go back to the interpretation of the parable. Mark 4, verse 10. It says, when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable, and he said unto them, unto you is given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest haply they should turn again, and it should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye this parable? Know ye not this parable? And how shall ye know all the parables? Well, this is they that were about him. That was his disciples. They said, why speakest thou to them in parables? Why did Jesus speak in parables? And why was it given to his disciples and not to others to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God? Well, the answer is more fully given in Matthew 13:11 through 15. Here, beginning in Matthew 11 and verse 10, when the disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whomsoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall in no wise understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which ye see and saw them not, and to hear the things which you hear and heard them not. Hear ye then the parable of the sower. When a mystery is understood, it is no longer a mystery. And the simplest things may be a mystery to those who do not understand it. The apostles and first disciples of Jesus thought he came to establish a temporal, political, earthly kingdom, a kingdom of this world that would rival the nations of this world, being like in its kind. And the spiritual nature of this kingdom was a mystery to them, until they understood it, that the Gentiles should be fellow citizens and fellow heirs in this kingdom with the Jews was a mystery to the Jews, until they understood. Well, this is explained in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, 1 through 12. Jesus did not speak to the multitudes in parables, because he did not desire them to know the truth. If so, he would not have spoken to them at all. He taught both his disciples and the multitudes alike. Henceforth, he had taught in direct, plain, positive precepts, as in the Sermon on the Mount, and the scribes and Pharisees had scoffed at his teaching and rejected it. They had hardened their hearts and stopped their ears and closed their eyes, as the Jews had done in the days of Isaiah. They were determined not to believe. Now Jesus speaks in parables, not that he does not want all to know the truth, but that those who desire the truth may be separated from those who have rejected it. God has so arranged it that people must desire the truth in order to receive it, and yet all who desire it and hunger and thirst after it have the blessed assurance that they can understand and receive it. This is the key to the whole matter. Neither the multitudes nor the disciples understood the parable of the sower. The multitudes went away in indifference and did not want to know, while the disciples went to Jesus and asked an explanation. He explained it to all who wanted to know. This explanation has been recorded, and now all who desire to understand it can read it for themselves. God is no respecter of persons. The difference, then, is between people themselves. Some desire to know the truth, and they learn it. Others have no desire to distinguish truth from error, and they never learn the difference. And still others stop their ears and close their eyes against the truth, and are determined not to receive it. That people do not desire truth and will not receive it is their own fault. On this principle, the truth is hidden from the wise and the prudent and revealed unto babes. The process of conversion is given in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. Here we read, this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. So people must see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and turn to God, and then he heals or saves them. Before these sneering, scoffing Jews, Jesus had worked numerous miracles, but they closed their eyes. He had spoken as never man spake, but they would not hear. He had taught them the simplest things that could comprehend, but they would not understand. On the other hand, he said to his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." This is the difference. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But he who hath not, that doesn't have a desire for the truth, it'll be taken away what he hath.